Astrologer Mark Lerner back with us. His website, of course, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. One of his books, Welcome to Planet Earth. We're going to talk with him about next year and the things we're all going to face. And then in our last hour, we'll take some readings with you. Tom will tell you a little bit later on of what we expect you to give us so Mark can run with it. And welcome back to Coast. Mark Lerner with us, graduated from Michigan State University with high honors and a bachelor degree in social science. Back in 1972, he completed a very intensive training course in professional astrology and started his career. Hearing how they summoned other dimensions and growing thriving gardens in the barren soils of northern Scotland, Mark joined the Find Home community in 1976. Setting back into the U.S. back in 1980, he eventually published Welcome to Planet Earth, a journal which reached thousands of astrological students and professionals around the world, became well-respected as one of the top periodicals concerning what they call mundane astrology. Now, that's focusing on the higher destiny of nations, humanity, and good old spaceship Earth. Mark, welcome back, my friend. I hope we have a good year next year. We need it, don't we?
Well, we definitely need it. Whether we get it or not, let's just hope for the best here.
Oh, no. That's a kind of a prelude of what you're going to tell us, isn't it?
Well, you know, I thank you so much for opportunities to be on since August of 2004, over the, you know, talk about a long time ago, 17 years.
Oh, my gosh. Where does the time go, Mark? My God.
I know the time is flying. Look. I'm an eternal optimist, even if it's so many minutes or hours in a day. You know, I like to think that there are some times when I've been on the show and somebody will write to me and they'll say, poor Mark, he's so deluded about this concept of free will, that we have free will. And this goes back to the very essence of astrology, whether mundane, focused on the earth, or individual charting. You know, so many people over the course of centuries, particularly from the religious side of things, and sometimes from the scientific side, because all astrologers are always walking this tightrope, because over the centuries, anyone who sort of like got into this field of astrology, if they weren't religious, then they were frowned upon very, very badly from religious authorities. And from science, it's always like, this is a pseudoscience and isn't accepted. So 48 years now of doing this, walking a tightrope. But fundamentally, the way I look at it, there are no absolute, oh, this has to be negative. Things like Mercury's retrograde, this is one of the big things that we hear about all the time. Oh, no, this planet is going retrograde. And retrogradation of planets, which I've shared before, we're going to have another Mercury retrograde January 14th for 3 weeks. We're going to have Venus go retrograde, which is a planet that goes the least amount of all the planets goes retrograde. That'll happen December 19th. Coming up in a couple of weeks. But retrograding planets are really not necessarily negative. And I have my own gripes in the astrology community almost 50 years into this, that there's a lot too much fear, shall we say. And the last thing we need with astrology and cycles is fear.
Well, that's absolutely true. Update us on, Mark, if you would, mundane astrology for those people who don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's interesting because you pointed this out the last time. That word has changed. I mean, this is the, when I got into this 48 years ago, which is exactly what you said in introducing me, it's an astrology of nations and world leaders and history and eclipses and full moons and equinoxes, solstices. The beginning points, just like all of us have a birth moment when we take our first breath, and that's the beginning of our life, and we each have a horoscope of sun, moon, planets, 12 houses, and all kinds of alignments. I mean, astrology is a very complex field, both individually and for world leaders and any of these events. But most of the people in the world hear about it as like, oh, this is my sun sign. And I've shared before on the show, for instance, the moon is a very powerful part of all of our charts, but you can't figure that out based on somebody born on January 1st or May 15th. So most of us know, oh, yeah, we're this sign or that sign because of the 30-day time period we're born in, that sign of the zodiac. But most of us then have no idea that we have a Mercury or a Venus or a Moon and these different planets that have other meanings and archetypes inside of us.
Mark, since you've been doing this, you have changed the face of the planet for a lot of people. What has been the most satisfying aspect of what you've done?
Well, you just, I guess, sort of said it. I mean, here and there, I mean, Welcome to Planet Earth, started as a dream. It was a Staple Together, believe it or not, newsletter that I created out of nowhere. I've shared before, my father was a doctor. I was supposed to sort of get into medicine. And the first day I was taking a class in chemistry at Columbia University, this is after college from Michigan State where your sister went to school, literally the first day I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll try and go into medical school. I come back to where I was living in Queens, New York, and I go into a bookstore and I find this first book, Astrology, the Space Age Science. I mean, literally the first day that I'm thinking of maybe I will be doctor of the body, and I wind up sort of getting into doctor of the psyche, and this whole astrology feel gets into my life and puts aside medicine or anything else. And it's just somehow or another, it's so fascinating to be able to look at the cosmos. The ancient idea was as above, so below. It goes back to ancient Egypt and Greece and Rome and India and China, so many cultures in the Middle East, all around the world. Astronomer, astrologers are looking up the stars. That we've known about Jupiter, Saturn, these conjunctions. We just had one last year in December, Jupiter and Saturn Aquarius. They were marking these, George, back in the 700 BC, and whatever we lost during the fires at the Library of Alexandria, I mean, we would know so many secrets of things that are talked on your show. I mean, the Great Pyramid, the Sphinx, Peru, Machu Picchu, all of these ley lines and PowerPoints, we would know so much more if we had not lost the Library of Alexandria.
Absolutely. Now, we have a major celestial event coming up December 4th, don't we?
Down at the bottom of the world, literally, there's a total solar eclipse, but it affects everywhere because it's really a new moon. And this is in Sagittarius. It happens this Saturday, Sunday. It's a total solar eclipse. We don't always have them total. Often they're partial or what's called annular. If the moon is too far away from the Earth, it doesn't completely cover the sun's disk. The United States, the chart that we have been using, Welcome Planet Earth and my colleagues, we have a Sagittarius, what we call rising sign for America. Every country has a birth chart of some kind. Our chart that we use is July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence. So this eclipse is right on the horizon, very close to the horizon. So it's very illuminating. You asked, is there something good? So there's a lot of light and a lot of enlightening energy coming in on December 3rd, 4th. In the next 2 days, however, we have Neptune, this faraway planet, is what we call motionless. It's stopping its retrograde motion and going direct. And Neptune can represent universal love and psychic sensitivity and compassion, or, as we're seeing, confusion, things about oil, like the oil reserves and what's happening in Europe. And there's worries now in Texas that, remember last year with the winter, and people couldn't get their houses going, you know, losing power. So there's a lot of issues about oil and natural gas. That's all connected to Neptune, but things that are very spiritual. In the lead up to this eclipse this week, we have a very powerful spiritual, psychic, visionary energy. It's coming in literally tonight in the next couple of days because Neptune is motionless.
Why is it that these planetary alignments and celestial events have such an effect on us, Mark?
Okay, this is so crucial. I often bring up Carl Jung, the Swiss psychotherapist, who actually, aside from getting into UFOs and mandalas and synchronicity, East-West teachings, he actually studied the charts of married couples. So he was actually getting into astrology a whole lot. And he's the person who basically said, whatever happens at a moment of time has the qualities of that moment of time. That sounds a little redundant and weird, but the point is that unfortunately in the West, we tend to look, we quantify things. So we tend to think of two apples plus another two apples is four apples rather than the quality of two-ness. Or we'll go back to Pythagoras in 500 BC. They got into the quality of numbers. What does it mean to have oneness? What does it mean to have two-ness? What is the quality of the Trinity or the triangle, a five-pointed star? You know, what does the number five mean? Not five things, okay? So in the West, we tend to look at things as what we own, what we have, things that are material, whereas a lot of the spiritual teachings go back in astrology are more of the music of the spheres, kind of harmony of music and sound and vibrations, because this is basically, and I love geometry in high school, astrology is kind of applied geometry, but it's really the geometry of the planets, the sun, the moon, and all these movements in the heavens. By the way, one other thing, I wrote my own book called Mysteries of Venus. I self-published it back in 1985. turns out that the planet Venus and the Sun and the Earth, every 8 years, George, it makes a pentagram in our zodiac. So a five-pointed star in our zodiac happens due to, it's kind of like the Sun, the Earth, and Venus in alignments every 9.5 months, and it inscribes literally a pentagram, which is a higher energy when it's upright. So I've studied all these things, kind of the harmony of the spheres. That's why astrology is magic to us. It changes our lives from the cosmic perspective.
Do these celestial events, Mark, at all have a physical effect on people, on their health, for example?
At every area of life. This is why there's a whole teaching. Before I went to Findhorn in Scotland, I was fortunate to be part of a group called Lucis Trust, Lucis Publishing. It's right near the UN in New York. There's 24 incredible books. If anybody is interested, they have their own website. But it's called Lucis, L-U-C-I-S Trust. And there's all these spiritual teachings. And so fundamentally, all of this comes out of astrology, out of a cosmic energy. This is why I get really down on the fear thing of, okay, Mercury's retrograde, therefore people can't communicate, they can't sign contracts. A lot of these different things are not true. It's just that, yes, of course, if planets appear from the Earth standpoint, we're 93 million miles from the Sun. So no planet ever goes backwards. I mean, in terms of, we're part of the solar system. And so we tend to forget about that when we do all the charting that we do. This is what we call geocentric, and there is actually a heliocentric part of astrology. It's not used all that much, George, but it does exist, and it's also pretty fascinating to look at your chart from the Sun's perspective and not only from the Earth's perspective.
Interesting take on all of this. And you're looking at 2022 as we kick in through, you know, we're into December in another day or two, and how does next year look for you? You kind of hinted that it might not be so great.
Well, what we've had here, see, again, with mundane astrology, or I think at some point we're going to have to change the name because the word mundane has become like so-so. It's mundane. It's not so significant.
Ho-hum, right?
You know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. So Earth astrology or geo-astrology or some kind of thing like that, something that represents the Earth, global astrology, whatever. What we have, though, is because the United States, I mean, we have our tentacles, so to speak, everywhere in the world. I mean, what is the United States, right? We're a melting pot of all different races, nationalities. You go back to this planet, Neptune. Neptune was discovered in 1846. In 18, we were having the war with Mexico. Right now, this planet Neptune in the sky is in Pisces, but when the country was born at the Declaration of Independence in 1776, Neptune was in the sign Virgo. So what's happening, Neptune has a 165-year cycle. The reason, George, for the political and social divide that has been developing so many the last couple of presidencies and continuing, and these fears of kind of like this, almost like a new civil war, is literally what Neptune is doing now. It lasted in the late 1850s. Remember the Lincoln-Douglas debates, bleeding Kansas, and then the actual Civil War. So Neptune has come back to where it was. Now, we're not going to have blue versus gray. That's not what's happening. But what's getting rekindled, it's kind of like history repeats itself because the planets have certain cycles, and Neptune is one of these longer cycles, and it's creating a lot of confusion.
Interesting take on all of that. Since you've been looking at this.
Well, unfortunately, see, this is the good thing about astrology. I mean, let me give you an example of something. We know Nostradamus' birth chart. I've studied it. Nostradamus was born, this is the greatest seer in the history of the world. I mean, we have Edgar Cayce, America's Sleeping Prophet, who did all kinds of things. I'm sure your listeners are aware of the ARE, the Association of Research and Enlightenment. 14,000 readings this guy did. He was Sun Sign Pisces, Edgar Cayce. However, Nostradamus, born in 1503, lived about to be 53 years old. He was born around Christmas with Mercury retrograde. Hello, everybody. Listen to what I'm just saying. Mercury retrograde. The guy goes way into the future. You've had John Hogue on many times,
yep.
Right? You've had all these people trying to understand those quatrains. How does a guy like Nostradamus, a doctor, an astrologer, all these things with the court of France, how is he able to name Pasteur a couple hundred years before he exists?
Exactly.
How is he able to name Montgolfier as the guy who who invented the hot air balloon. He almost gets Hitler exactly right. He mentions Franco, right?
And he says Hister about Hitler, but that's pretty darn close.
Right, and these are quatrains. Then Churchill and Hitler and World War II, they're throwing leaflets back and forth. There's astrology being used when they create radar and all these things. What I'm saying is astrology is involved. When you go back to all different civilizations, 1,000 years ago, astronomy, astrology was being taught in the University of Europe. It was one of the main subjects. It wasn't called astrology, you know, as we now know it. But astrology is part of, it's kind of like, I've been baking garlic for 37 years because I was looking for something that would be kind of a universal remedy when I came out from Wisconsin and the East Coast.
And you've never been attacked by a vampire yet, have you?
by the way, there are interesting things. It does ward off kind of negative energies as well as colds and sore throats, fingers crossed. I've had some interesting experiences with it. But just like the reason I mentioned garlic as a metaphor is all over the world, all these different cultures know that garlic is kind of a natural healer, a blood purifier. Well, astrology is a part of all cultures, whether it's condemned or not. Like in China, we're about to have their Olympics right at the Chinese Lunar New Year. You know, we could have another one of these coronavirus things come out of there. And that's how it all started back 2 years ago, because they were having their Lunar New Year and they lit this thing out to the world. I mean, there's a lot of dangers, and they're basically using astrology with their cycles. They believe in this for 5,000 years.
Yeah, they sure have. Let me throw some topics your way, Mark. We're going to hit a break in a couple minutes, but I want to come back and talk. So this is basically for 2022. How do you see the situation with Russia and Ukraine?
I'm getting more worried about it. I know sometimes you got people call up about Iran and all these different areas. I like to think it's not going to happen. I can't imagine that we're going to have any kind of, what do you call it, a hot war. I actually believe, because there is a spiritual, invisible forces, angels, teachers, and guides, I believe we're all souls and spirits. This is part of my understanding for metaphysics. I believe when we had the situation where Qasim Soleimani was assassinated or killed, remember the leader from Iran back in January of 2020?
Yeah.
In the beginning of January, that the pandemic, in a bizarre way, as terrible as it has been, has sort of intervened to give us something more serious to be concerned about so that we don't go to war. That's my answer about the thing about Ukraine and Russia. We get a lot of problems from Putin for various reasons. Russia is going through what we call a Saturn return because it's a new Russian country from 1991. It's going through a 29-year cycle. We've got Putin in there for 20 years. He's former KGB. It is not good that he's there. He has a big connection to the U.S. birth chart that is not very good. Hopefully he will not be around all that much longer somehow, but he is a dangerous person with a lot of weapons at his disposal, so it is worrisome.
China and Taiwan.
Yeah, right. Again, that's constantly happening. You know, when I think about this, believe it or not, I go back to 1960 when JFK used the whole thing of Quemoy and Matsu, these islands off of what they then called Formosa.
That's right.
And Nixon was vice president, and JFK, believe it or not, out-conservatized Nixon by saying there was a missile gap, which there really wasn't. And JFK was an unknown. Remember the whole thing, the first time we ever had a TV debate? Turned out that people saw Nixon. He hadn't shaved. He looked kind of worried. And the people on the radio thought Nixon had won, but the people who saw Kennedy said he won.
That's
right.
He
barely won the presidency. I do think JFK was supposed to be in there, as terrible as his murder was, which I've written about so much. But each president...
Hold on for a second, Mark. We're at the break. We'll come back and talk about the China-Taiwan situation, COVID-19, and some other things you're seeing for 2022. And welcome back to Coast. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with the astrologer, Mark Lerner. We'll tell you exactly what he needs to talk about you and, of course, ask him questions about astrology as well. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie back with astrologer Mark Lerner. His website is greatbearenterprises.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Mark, we were talking about China having its eyes on Taiwan, but astrologically speaking, how does 2022 look for that situation?
Well, I guess I'm more concerned about what's happening with Russia and Ukraine. I'm aware of Xi's birth chart, the leader, and China has a chart for October 1 of 1949. We've been using it in astrology for a long time. There is, as you may have been hearing, there's a lot of concerns about whether or not Xi is going to maintain control. You know, kind of he and Putin are on this thing of leaders for life kind of thing, authoritarians, yeah. Like forever they're trying to change, or they already are changing constitutions to just be in there forever. So you got China with 1 billion plus people. It's a little different about what happened with Hong Kong. I mean, that was very, very destabilizing and upsetting, and it still is, because Hong Kong, all those demonstrators for years, and its independence and connection with the British Empire.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's different at Michigan State, I had a great professor and in Chinese history, and we learned all of it going back thousands of years, and all the way to the 20th century, and Mao defeating Chiang Kai-shek, and Chiang Kai-shek in the 1930s fleeing to the island of Taiwan, or was then called Formosa. So you have the Taiwanese people there on that small island. It's a powerhouse of a country. They were the country in the Security Council at the beginning of the UN, and then because of Nixon going to visit Mao and Chuen Lai and Henry Kissinger, they opened the door to China. And then Jimmy Carter, under the Carter administration, was when basically nationalist China was removed as the representative. I mean, these are all part of our history, which is really shocking. But I don't think, George, that I think it's more of kind of getting America to not defend them. You know, in other words, that's their sphere of influence. The best way I could put it, remember the Monroe Doctrine and with JFK and the Cuban Missile Crisis? In the movie 13 Days, which is relatively true, a book written by Robert Kennedy, there's a part in this movie that JFK says to Dean Rusk, I need all the countries of Latin America, all 20 of them that are part of our union, mm-hmm. to all agree that no missiles in Cuba. And then Dean Rusk, our Secretary of State back in October of 62 during the missile crisis, says something like, well, Mr. President, that's going to be hard to do. In the movie version, the Steve Greenwood, the guy who plays JFK, says, get it done, Dean. You know, all 20, absolutely 100%. And then they actually all wind up saying, you know, missiles out of Cuba and so on. The rest is history. So I tend to think that just like we would never, can you imagine if we had flyovers of Chinese aircraft over, like between in the Gulf of Mexico? We wouldn't stand for that, would we?
No. Now, we'd retaliate by doing the same thing, but something dangerous could happen.
Right. I guess what I'm saying, the same thing like with the Persian Gulf. By the way, the Neptune cycle that we're still in, this opposition that is repeating history from the 1850s leading to the American Civil War. Starting in February, we get Pluto moving very slowly, a 247-year cycle, what we usually call the outermost planet, even though the astronomers demoted it. Astrologers have never done that. There are planets now beyond Pluto, like Sedna and Eris and others. Well, Pluto comes back in the United States birth chart. This is the big thing. Anyone into mundane or Earth astrology and the United States chart, this is going to start in February and repeat in July, and then the very end of at the end of the year, Pluto moving very slowly, returning to where it was when the United States was born. And one other thing, George, I discovered something back in 1995 about the planet Jupiter. Jupiter is said to have a 12-year cycle, but it's not exactly 12 years. It's like 11.8 something. And so if you multiply 12 times 2, times 3, and so on, you get these cycles where every person, everyone listening now, we all have a Jupiter return, which can be auspicious when we're 12 years old, when we're 24, when we're 36. But as we get older, it's a little less than 12 years, and I discovered that instead of like 84 years, which would be 12 times 7, Jupiter has an exact 83-year cycle instead of an 84-year cycle after 7 cycles of Jupiter. This sounds a little complex, but here's the point. 1939 and 2022 are 83 years apart. And what that means, and I've already articulated this in a podcast on my website, Mark Lerner Astrology Radio Astroscope. There's a bunch of podcasts, now 89 of them. The point is that we're going to have next year and this is why my fingers are crossed that I'm trying. You said before, you know, I've done certain things to hopefully illuminate people's consciousness around the world about this. We have to be ready that we don't fall victim to these mistakes from 1938, 1939. We are literally in this year repeating 1938. Next year, every day, Jupiter is back where it was in 39. And the war started on September 1, 1939. And all these other events happened, particularly in Europe. Okay, that's why the thing with Putin and Ukraine, you know, George, people forget Chernobyl is in Ukraine. Chernobyl. 1986.
What does that tell you? Yep.
You know, and we're forgetting our history. There's all these worries and different things and all the things about the pandemic and the political stuff in this country and all these other kind of things. We're just not, you know, I love history and I think we need to learn from it. I'm just concerned, you know, I'm going to stay as an eternal optimist and I want to put out positive energy that Putin and Zelensky there in Ukraine, what happened a couple years ago, I mean, a year and a half ago with Donald Trump, President Trump, and Zelensky, whatever happened and whatever has gone on in our country, hopefully we'll leave the past and work on sort of resolving these issues now because they are very serious.
What about COVID-19? As we roll into 2022, now we are concerned about another variant. When does this end, Mark?
Okay. Here's the thing. I shouldn't be laughing about it. I did 13 coronavirus and astrology podcasts when this all started happening last year. And what I did was I went back. You know, we just had literally at the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere last year, George, December 21 of 2020, that's when Jupiter and Saturn came into Aquarius. And astronomers and astrologers saying kind of kumbaya, the age of Aquarius, Jupiter and Saturn hadn't been there since 1405, the year 1405. Well, what was happening in 1405 and back in the 1200s and 1300s, this is when the bubonic plague hit Europe. And it started around 1333 in China, of all places. I've read this history. And by 14 years later, it got to Florence in 1347, okay, what we call the Black Death or the bubonic plague. Now, this was all happening when Jupiter and Saturn were in air signs. That's where Jupiter and Saturn are now. The very thing about Aquarius, where Jupiter and Saturn are in now and came together just barely a year ago, is that it represents universality. We need to work together, you know, whether it's the Olympics or let's all find vaccines for whatever this is and let's all work together. You know, how sports can bring us together and other kind of human, you know, positive stories, you know, where our hearts and our minds and our philosophies were working together. You know, I mean, the UN has failed a whole lot, you know, and basically hasn't helped us. But we're trying to do things on a positive level. You know, every day there's some really good human interest stories that are happening, people helping each other, right? But we tend to, the news tends to start with things like, oh, all these people are stealing products at Nordstrom or something, right? Or fears over Taiwan and what Xi might do or flyovers of Chinese aircraft.
All true stories.
Right, they are. So I guess what I'm saying is what I see in my eternal optimism is if I were China, right, or if I were Xi, or we could put any of ourselves, what would we do, right, if we saw this colossus of the United States? We still have the world's reserve currency. You know, how can we be the world's policeman, right, at the same time with all of this economic craziness, cryptocurrencies, the pandemic? There are so many things. Then we got everything else like UFOs, climate change, right? You know, asteroids running around that now NASA is trying to. I was hearing about that. Somebody must have brought it up about we're going to try and knock an asteroid, right, off of its place to see what we could do in the future if one came near Earth. And then the storyline, George, talk about from a humorous but also dangerous standpoint. It's like, what could possibly go wrong that we're sending some kind of spacecraft to move an asteroid or hit it, and then the people at NASA are saying, oh, there's no worry that we could possibly do anything to jar it off its orbit. That doesn't make me feel exactly confident. Does it make you feel confident?
Not at all.
No. And then, see, we don't have control, individuals, over what NASA is going to decide or what Xi is going to do in China. I do think from the Chinese birth chart from October 1 of 1949, they have an Aquarius moon. Their chart, again, China has used astrology for a long time. Same thing in India. Some of these countries, remember Ronald Reagan was using it because of Nancy Reagan. You know, I mean, they were using it when he was a governor. They were using it throughout his whole presidency.
Oh, my God. She was into it in a big way, wasn't she?
But with several different astrologers. We still don't know when Ronald Reagan was actually born. We don't know his birth time. You know, we barely know Biden's birth time. We exactly know Donald Trump's birth time, and so that was why I've been able to sort of look at a lot of what he was doing and have an exact birth time. And some of these leaders, like Clinton and Nixon and JFK, their birth times are known, and we never knew Ronald Reagan's birth time. But the point is that astrology has been used in these different cultures, and it's being used in China, it's used in India, and it's used in other places, even though they don't talk about it.
Well, since you brought up former President Trump, is he going to run again in 24? What do you think?
Well, look, my attitude of all these things, because I'm not political about it, my tendency is to look at things like, for instance, Theodore Roosevelt came into power when William McKinley was assassinated. He was the youngest person to ever become president, even younger than JFK by a year. He's only 42 years old, and he served out that term. He's one of the great, you know, like there are plenty of things that maybe didn't do right, but he was one of the great Republican presidents. And then he had his own term, okay? So he's in there for a long time. And what I'm saying is people come into positions of power in you know, for various reasons. I've said before, Donald Trump's birth chart is more connected to the United States chart for the Declaration of Independence than any other person I've seen. He's not even a political figure, you know? He's comes out of his TV programs, why he's so well known, and real estate and so many other things that he's done in his life. So he has a powerful hold. It's not necessarily good or bad. Okay, I'm not saying it's good because he has that hold. It's just that his planets are very connected to various planets in the United States birth chart. It's why he defeated Hillary Clinton, whether, you know, a person likes Donald Trump or not. He has been in there for a particular purpose. I don't think, George, that when it comes down to it, here's my view. I think Joe Biden is going to be far too old to be president again. And I think Donald Trump is also too old to do that. We know that Ronald Reagan became president in 69, and he did have Alzheimer's issues that they blocked up, just like with JFK. And they didn't talk about his Addison's disease and all these other things. So I think we need younger people is what I'm saying.
So is that he's not going to run again?
I think he's going to tease it, definitely, and I do believe that unless there's some kind of strange thing happening, the odds are pretty strong that on November 8th of 2022, there's a total lunar eclipse, and it looks as though at least one of the houses will go Republican, if not both, because they're both on the edge there, and that would be a whole revolution. That might stir him to wanting to do it, okay, more so than... But he will definitely keep teasing it. He's not gonna let it go, you know. And I don't think an absolute decision is made. And you can't really look at his chart. I don't think anybody could look at it and say, oh, you know, he will definitely do it.
Right.
I think there would be a fear somewhere in the Trump area that if he did lose somehow to whoever he was running against, that he would have lost twice. And he doesn't want to ever be a loser. I mean, that's why he's been saying the things he has that he never lost.
Interesting take. Okay, so the government is forming a new group, a new committee to investigate unidentified aerial phenomena, as they call it. You have looked at UFOs with astrology. What have you discovered?
Absolutely, and this relates a lot to this planet called Chiron. It's a small planet discovered November 1, 1977.
Mm-hmm.
About a 50 to 51-year cycle. It goes back to the chart I use is an exactly time chart for Kenneth Arnold seeing those flying saucers over Mount Rainier, and it happened in my own state, really, of Oregon and Washington, and that was June 24th, 1947. Then we got Roswell, like 2 weeks later, that whole time period. So that chart is very, very powerful, and all I can say is, you know, this has been kept. I mean, you used to have Stan Friedman, who passed away.
God love his soul.
You had all these people, you know, Majestic 12, all these different things that we don't always hear about. This Disclosure Project, you know, Ancient Aliens. I mean, it's got to come out. I mean, somehow or another, I mean, the only thing that bothers me about it, George, is this. What I realized, just like they can't talk about what happened with JFK, they keep blocking CIA material, other things, you know what I mean? Blocking out information. Both Trump and Biden said, no, we're going to wait, even though it's 58 years. I think if the government releases something on either JFK or on UFOs, and the reason they don't do it is that if you reveal one of them, then the reporters are going to say, well, if you're going to tell us now about UFOs, then tell us who killed John F. Kennedy, you know what I mean? Or if the Kennedy thing comes out, then they're going to want to reveal everything. That's why nothing gets revealed, because all the other things will then have to be revealed. So everything gets blocked.
Why hide it all from us, though? Why not just tell us the truth?
Because,
as Jack Nicholas said, you can't handle the truth.
You're right. Nicholson. Well, you know where I think because of the KGB, what happened with Stalin, okay, these other countries where the United States has had to sort of against its natural sort of way of doing things, or maybe we were always like this from the beginning when you start thinking of like the founding father, founding mothers and so on, the Knights Templar, you know, all of these magical symbols at the beginning of the country, right, that are in Washington, D.C., all of these kind of secrets and these movies like National Treasure, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Like, who founded the country? You know, on what level? There's a in astrology, there's a lot of esoteric astrology about, you know, the Declaration of Independence, that particular day, you know, not just in 1776, but the Constitution in 1789. Who was George Washington? You know, who are these people? The people who are part of these mysterious kind of esoteric groups that are part of the United States, you know, the Masons.
Which has been happening for a long time. Up next, calls with Mark Lerner on Coast to Coast AM.